Welcome to the Sports Law Biz Podcast, dedicated to helping people better understand the law and business of sports. I'm your host, Peter Ott, and we've got a lot to talk about here today, so why don't we just jump in? Hello, this is Peter Ott with the Sports Law Biz Podcast. I'm here today with Mark Burns, the founder and editor-in-chief of the Sports Business Chronicle, a new age media company covering the intersection of sports and business, and it's centered around a community and membership-based model. It was just launched here in October 2017, and so it's a new company, and I'm excited to learn more about it. So glad to have you here with us today, Mark.
Thanks for having me on, Peter.
To get started, why don't you just give us a brief background, what's led you to this point, where you are now?
Yeah, so I went to Michigan for undergrad, graduated in 2011. Thought I was going to be going to med school to become the next sports medicine doctor for the Detroit Red Wings, and okay. Took a few science classes and quickly realized that science and biology and chemistry was not for me, and so had to pivot a little bit and realized that, you know, in high school I took some history classes I really enjoyed, and so decided on history as a major because I loved history, with the thought that potentially going to law school. And so decided on that pretty much after my freshman year of college. And basically over the course of my 4 years at Michigan, I didn't really have a lot of sports experiences beyond just writing for the school paper. And I was an editor, was a beat writer, covered men's hockey for 2 seasons, men's and women's tennis, water polo, women's golf. It really wasn't until about after my junior year, I had this realization that, you know, I was going to law school, was going to spend 3 years, and what was I going to do with my law degree? And kind of stumbled upon this website called Sports Agent Blog. And, you know, I still like sports. It just felt like a way I could utilize my law degree around an area that I was passionate about. And so graduated from Michigan in 2011, and my first real internship with the CCHA College, defunct Division I College Hockey Conference. Intern with them, 2011, went to law school at Belmont in Nashville, Tennessee, and basically utilized law school, what people normally use undergrad for, as a way to get all those experiences and all those internships, and did a lot of networking in law school. So helped plan two sports business conferences with a group called the Ivy Sports Symposium. I did a lot of writing. I wrote for a site called sportsnetworker.com for about a year and a half, had an internship with them, interned with Belmont, the athletic department at Belmont and their operations group for about 8 to 10 months. And so, yeah, just wanted to get a bunch of different experiences to see, okay, what did I really want to do? Intern with an agency in the summer of 2013 with the general counsel of a sports agency. And so graduated in 2014 from Belmont, went to Colorado for an internship, and eventually got a job with a sports agency in Atlanta in their marketing group. And it was called, at the time, Career Sports Entertainment. Now it's called CSC Talent. And so, yeah, I was on the marketing side representing players, coaches, and broadcasters. And so really a good experience, my first, you know, full-time job in sports, doing marketing for, you know, marketing, autograph signings, appearances, did a few book deals, which was really cool. And because I was in a group that wasn't that big, I was able to touch a lot of different things and do things that I, you know, if I was at SCA or William Morris or one of the bigger agencies, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to do. So was there for 2 years, left that, realized I really wanted to pursue the writing. That was something, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, I did at Michigan, and really wanted to pursue that. And so started writing for a website called sporttechie.com, did that for about 10 months, good experience, but it was the time to kind of move on. And really, I thought I was leaving the media world, and I was this was only 3 months ago, kind of at a point, very recently, kind of at a point where, you know, I love the writing. There wasn't really a lot of full-time, there just isn't a lot of full-time jobs covering the sports business world. I thought about getting back into the agency life, what I was doing in Atlanta, and really it was a close friend in the industry that suggested to me, hey, you should, because you've been writing for the past, you know, 5 years, I've written for Forbes, Sporting News, covering the sports business beat, why don't you launch your own site or your own newsletter? And I dismissed this. This was like late June after I left Sport Techie. I really dismissed that. And my friend, just based on his personality, he kind of just kept at it. You know, every few days he would mention it to me. And finally, we had a conversation over the course of a few hours in early August. And the next morning I woke up and was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And so that was August 8th. And so, yeah, it was not that long ago. I mean, you know, a little bit over 2 months ago. And that was when I landed on the idea of a Sports Business Chronicle, which, like you mentioned in the intro, a community and membership-based model covering the sports business beat. And so right now it's fairly broad, you know, business, marketing, esports, social digital media, hitting all parts of the industry. And so it's just me writing for now. Over time, yeah, it'd be great to hire a team. But yeah, for now it's just me, and so that's where we're at today.
Okay, well, yeah, no, that's a lot of diverse experiences, and yeah, one thing that I think is notable about your story is you know, you tried a lot of different things, and you got mm-hmm. experiences and networking and stuff like that. You're definitely the king of networking. I'm very impressed. You know, I've only known you for like a month or so, and we met at a networking event, and I just see you're like traveling all over the place. You talk to people. You're a pretty connected guy. So there's a lot for listeners here to take away from you. So let's talk a little bit more about this website. It's a subscription model, as you said. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is that to be able to read articles, people are going to have to subscribe or pay money, right? And mm-hmm. so, you know, on the internet, there's so much stuff that's available for free. Why did you decide to go with a subscription model?
Yeah, I think the reason why I went with that is, you know, I feel like subscriptions right now are all the rage. You see sites like The Athletic doing it. And they've been at it for a few, granted, they're just covering sports, not covering sports business, but they've been at it for a little bit. Boston Sports Journal, there's a site out of Pittsburgh. And so you've got, and even just outside of sports, and that's just sports, but outside of sports, there's actually a fair amount of subscription-based sites. And so for me, it just felt like an easier way that I could get, a quicker way to get this thing going. And I felt like if the content is good enough, that people would pay for it. And I'm quickly finding out that it's actually a little bit more difficult than I thought it would be. I guess getting people to pay for anything is tough, but getting people to pay for content, and to what you said, there is content out there that is free, but yeah, how is my content going to stand out? So, I mean, we're only in week 3 and I'm already seeing like how we're going to tweak this a little bit. I'm kind of talking with potential partners in different areas. Those are kind of, I guess, very early conversations, but if you look at the site right now, yeah, there's really no way. I think to actually place ads on the site, uh-huh. I think there's only like one place I can put ads. Like I'd really have to just go to a different website altogether, but from, you know, potentially monetizing our newsletter, or having different other pieces of, I guess, ways I could work with partners. Like those are definitely something that I'm exploring right now. But yeah, I mean, if you look at the site right now, there's 13, 14 articles. And yeah, it's kind of like, what are stories that people aren't telling? What types of news is out there that I can cover that no one else is really exploring? And so just for example, like, you know, Big Baller Brand, they just launched like a new emoji app. And I think Sports Business Chronicle and Forbes were the first to like have that piece of news. And so that day, you know, there were like the site, I think, got 5,000-6,000 views. And I think at least half were probably for that article alone. So it's stuff like that. We're going to stretch the boundaries of what sports business really means. And for example, like, you know, Last Chance U is a perfect example. Like I talked with the president of the school about how did that Netflix documentary impact the school from a business, marketing, sponsorship, branding standpoint. And so that was not really a story that was told. There's been interviews with the director of Last Chance U, but on the school side, no one had talked to Dr. Thomas Huebner. And so that's just one example of that. That also kind of stretched the boundaries. But, you know, there's been stuff on esports, digital media, Amazon and their live streaming of NFL games, Big Baller Brands, some Barstool. Yesterday, I wrote a story on the current state of AR in sports and why it's about to explode. Some ESPN news. So kind of all over the place right now. Like I said, fairly broad. Over time, might get more narrow. But at least for now, in the next, I would say for the first 3 months at least, we'll keep it fairly broad to appeal to why different parts of the sports industry and not just certain sectors.
I guess along with that kind of general focus for now, what readers are you targeting? Or is it just right now it's like, well, we'll put enough stuff out there and if it's good quality content, we'll get, you know, lots of different kinds of people? Or are you targeting a specific kind of person who's willing to pay, you know, I think it's, what is it, $7 a month?
Yeah, $7 a month, $40 for 6 months, $75 for a year. Yeah, I think it's a few different people. I would say first and foremost, probably professionals in the industry. And I would say more so professionals under the age of maybe 40, 35. I think the older crowd is still going to read SBJ because they've grown up with that the past 20 years, Sports Business Journal. But the group that's 35, maybe under 40, is looking for something different, something an alternative or something that complements what is already out there. SBJ does a great job, Forbes, Bloomberg. There's a few folks that cover sports business at Yahoo and New York Times. Everyone has their own part of the sports business world that they cover. And so I'm kind of trying to carve out a piece of that, if you will. So I would say, yeah, people 35, maybe 40, and then under that. And then also students. Of the people that have joined and paid for content, I would say about 10% have been students, undergrad and graduate. So that's been cool to see that students are not only – there's no student rate right now based on some limitations on the site and the template and the plugin that we use for the paywall. So we're kind of working around that for now. But it's been cool to see that, you know, there are some students paying $7 a month. There's been a few that have paid the $75 for a year to get content. And so that's been great to see. And then I should mention that also as part of the subscription or the membership – is you get access to different networking events and meetups in cities where there's lots of members. So let's say you go to school at Columbia in New York City, we'll probably have our first meetup just overall in New York in the next 4 to 6 weeks. So if you're a member, you'll have, you know, be able to attend. We'll probably have it at a local bar, or maybe at a company that is providing space for free for 2 hours to come and basically just like a happy hour networking event. And so if you're a member, you'll have access to that. And so as a student, because there's not too many students that have become members so far, you know, you'll kind of stand out in a room of, you know, 20, 30 people. If you're one of only one or two students, it kind of shows that you're taking initiative. You're not only obviously supporting the site and paying for content, which is obviously much appreciated by myself, but you're also investing in your own career and going to like a networking event that we're providing you access to. So that's the model right now as we stand. I think over time in the next, you know, 2 months or so, we'll get to a Facebook group, an exclusive Facebook group for members, so that you'll have some interaction. We'll have more of a conversation in there. I'd love to get to a podcast in 2018, maybe in the first or second quarter. But for right now, if you're paying for content, or if you're paying, you get access to the content and then access to the networking events as well.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, and I guess that goes into what distinguishes you from other places. I mean, the Sports Business Journal, as you mentioned, is a well-known outlet covering sports business, and then these other things like Forbes and things like that report about this as well. But you're trying to create more of a hub where people who are really interested in this kind of stuff can come together and find this information.
Yeah, no, I would say, yeah, totally. I mean, the networking, I feel like when I've gone to conferences in the past, you know, conferences can be $300, $500, $1,000. Like, they can get up there and pretty pricey. And a lot of times the people are going to the conferences, they're not even really sitting in on panels. They go for networking. And so if I can kind of create – people have told me, I mean, explicitly, I would love your content. I've been following you for the last 3 years. But I'm really actually more interested in the networking events that you're going to hold in New York, because for me to set up coffees or lunches or drinks with people – in the sports business world, that takes months to, you know, to schedule 15 of those meetings. But if you have a meetup with 50 people in the industry, that saves, and it's over 2 or 3 hours, that saves me an incredibly a large amount of time, and it makes my networking and my interactions with people that much more efficient. And so hopefully there's lots of members in, hopefully, you know, I'm assuming New York, you know, big cities, LA, Chicago, maybe Atlanta, DC, Philly, hope maybe on the West Coast, Seattle or Portland. And so we can hold a lot of these events where it makes sense. And also around big sporting events. I'll be at Hashtag Sports. I'll be at South by Southwest, Super Bowl. I just booked a trip. So we'll have meetups around those events where hopefully lots of members are going for work, and we can, you know, host a meetup and be able to provide a way for all those people to interact with each other.
Well, yeah, no, that's really great. And I think there's a lot of demand for that, you know, speaking personally. So I'm interested to see how that goes. Also, as a fellow content creator, one thing that I've found to be interesting is I've created podcasts. I reach out to people, you know, who work at teams, who work at apparel companies, you know, for universities, things like that. And as I interview people, it's easy to kind of get sucked into to their world and think, oh, wow, this person's cool, and I should just nod my head and say, you know, they're awesome. I don't know if that's something that you see in your writing. How do you approach a topic when you have a topic like, for example, the Big Baller Brand? Mm-hmm. Do you have a take there, or is the goal to just kind of report on it and let people know what's going on?
Yeah, for now it's more of the reporting and just the news. Yeah, I haven't really gone down the path of providing my opinion on really anything. I don't think I've written anything really. I mean, between Forbes or Sport Techie or what I'm doing now, I've really, yeah, never provided my opinion on anything. Usually if I'm trying to get someone's opinion or if I'm trying to inject some perspective into a piece, I'll talk to somebody, you know, I'll talk to a consultant, or I'll talk to a person that works at a team, or I'll talk to somebody at an agency that can provide their perspective. But for me, typically it's reporting on the news, providing some context around it, and then getting, like I mentioned, getting perspectives from a few different people. But yeah, for now, really haven't offered any type of opinion pieces. Who knows, over time that maybe could change. Maybe there's, you know, one opinion piece I do a week. But for now, as it stands, yeah, not really offering any of that, more so just the news or reporting on something in the industry.
And then I guess as we're getting ready to wrap up here, so you're right, currently a one-man operation. And so what goes into publishing an article? If it's you doing everything from start to finish, could you kind of walk us through that?
Yeah, totally. So I'll give you an example. I wrote I mentioned the story earlier on in the podcast, the augmented reality story, the state of AR in sports and why it's on pace to explode. I think for that story, granted, that was a longer story. I'll give you two different examples on the story. So that was a little bit longer story. I think 2,200, 2,300 words. Before even the story was created, you know, there hasn't been much. There's been, at least right now, that story's been in the works for probably 3 weeks, and there's starting to be more stuff written about AR, but I really hadn't seen anything definitive on, you know, the current state of AR and, like, you know, how are teams, leagues, properties utilizing the new technology. And so that was a story I felt like, you know, I could tell and that people would come to the Sports Business Chronicle because no one else had really written that story. And so for me, it's the idea, obviously, one. Two, it's who do I want to talk to and who's doing creative things with AR. And so based on just me following the industry the last few years and with my previous site, kind of knowing about certain players in the industry that utilize a lot of AR, just emerging technology. So, you know, how to set up interviews through PR, how to do the interviews, how to transcribe quotes, kind of figure out a layout for the article, and then begin writing. So it's definitely like a long process, especially for, you know, me, like you mentioned, I'm a one-man band for now, and that was a longer article. So something that took a little bit, you know, more time. For something else, let's say, like, I'll give you an example, like the Big Baller Brand. You know, I said that was one of two outlets that had it first. That's just basically a relationship with one of the companies the company that Big Baller Brand partnered with. I had talked with the CEO of that company. I had seen him at a conference a few weeks before the news came out. We discussed some things and caught up, and he had mentioned that this might be happening. And so wanted to, you know, just stay in touch with him, followed up. He had mentioned the news was coming. And so that was a way for me to have a piece of news along with Forbes as well. So sometimes there's a lot of time and, you know, effort and just work that goes into the story with the AR piece. But the, you know, with Big Baller Brand, that was, you know, less than an hour it took me to write the article. And plus it didn't involve any interviews, but it was a big piece of news. You know, that in, I guess I get in for that article, Busted Coverage, Bleacher Report, The Score, I think maybe one other outlet linked back to Sports Business Chronicle. So that was cool for us because, you know, we've only been around for less than a month, but to be able to be linked back to, and, you know, four sites for one story was huge. And so the traffic last week and the week before was pretty big. So yeah, kind of two different examples there for you.
Yeah, no, and there's lots of opportunities out there. There's different kinds of writing, you know, whether you're breaking news or whether mm-hmm. you're, you know, doing a more in-depth review and analysis of something. So it's good to see that you're covering both those options. And you know, I've been reading the articles. I think the website is it looks good. Once I was able to get subscribed, I could figure out how to navigate it a little better because it kept locking me out at the beginning. But but yeah, I think it's a great site. I don't know if there's anything you want to close with, a message you want people to know about the website and what's going on.
Yeah, I would say if you're interested in checking it out, sportsbusinesschronicle.com. Every 30 days, you get access to two free articles. So if you're interested in just checking out the site, what it looks like, what the content entails, there's a few free articles for you to explore. There's, like I mentioned earlier, there's about 12, 13, 14 articles on the site now, and hopefully the volume will increase over time. I think I'm going to try to cover some pieces of news throughout the day to just kind of keep the site fairly fresh. Right now it's you know, one article a day or two articles a day, so it's not a lot of content, but I think over time the volume will increase. But yeah, sportsbusinesschronicle.com, Twitter and Instagram, sportsbizchron, CHRON, if you want to follow us on either platform, and we're on Facebook as well, Sports Business Chronicle. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, it's good to hear a little bit about what you're doing, and people can check it out by going to the website. We'll link to all those you know, different places in the show notes. So thanks for coming on the Sports Lobbies podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Peter.
This has been an episode of the Sports Law Biz podcast. This podcast is available through the Sports Law Biz website or through iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Before wrapping things up, I'd like to thank some people. First of all, I'd like to thank my friend, Lieb Montoya, for designing the Sports Law Biz podcast logo as well as the Sports Law Biz blog logo. His artistic ability certainly surpasses mine. If interested, you can check out more of Lieb's work on Instagram and Twitter. His handle is at Lieb Montoya in both places. That's at L-I-B Montoya. Additionally, I'd like to thank the musical artist for providing this theme music that you're listening to right now. The artist is a band called The Losers. The album is entitled Young, Tough, Terrible. The track is Sports with an exclamation point. The label is Needle Drop Co. This music is available through a Creative Commons license of Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 Unported. This podcast was produced and recorded by myself, Peter Ott, and you can reach me at my personal Twitter handle, at PeterJOTT, through the Sports Law Biz Twitter handle, at SportsLawBiz, or through email at sportslawbizblog@gmail.com. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. If you are interested in contributing to either the Sports Law Biz blog or podcast, definitely reach out to me. I love to talk to people about these issues, and I know I can use all the help I can get. Finally, I'd like to thank you for listening to this podcast. Hopefully it was enjoyable. If so, please spread the word and let your friends and colleagues know about it. Leave a review on iTunes. Any way you can spread the news about this podcast would be greatly appreciated. That's our episode today. Tune in next time to learn more about the law and business of sports. I'm looking forward to discussing it with you on the Sports Law Biz podcast.